Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today, on February 17th of 2022, I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to be talking once again about some of the stuff we've been watching. Mostly anime. Most of it from Toonami. So, we have Attack on Titan premiering back again for the second part of Season 4. But first we have Shenmue to get through. So we got episode 2 of Shenmue. So, this episode, well, two things happen. One, the main character spends time trying to find information about what, about like the letter that has information about, you know, his father and maybe why he was killed. And two, he gets into a bunch of fights.
Yep.
There wasn't really that much plot progression, that I remember.
Nope, not really.
It kind of felt to me like the first episode in that, yeah, it was competently done. It was reasonably enjoyable, but it was just kind of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing special about it. There's nothing that makes me feel like, ooh, I really need to see what happens next. It just seems like, I don't know, is it shonen or is that my imagination?
It's based on a video game, it doesn't really fall into those sort of categories. That's more of something when it's based on manga. I don't know about the Shenmue thing. I mean, it's a video game, so I would assume it would kind of be shonen, because that's generally what the video games go for. So maybe that's I would guess it is kind of like that, but I can't really say it's that. It's just based on a game, and I don't really know that much about the game. I mean, it was apparently popular enough that they got like, what was it, like $3 million on the Kickstarter for Shenmue 3.
Wow.
Let me actually check to see how much it got. Although I think it was Shenmue 3's Kickstarter got $6.3 million. So yeah, a lot of people apparently really liked the video game series. Though I think when the game finally came out, it kind of got mixed reviews. So. But I guess that's just the way it usually goes. All right. Anything else to say about that?
Nope.
All right. So we come to the premiere of this season of Attack on Titan, episode 76, also known as me trying to actually remember what was going on when we, left off. So Zeke, got, you know, the Beast Titan guy, he managed to escape from Levi, who's maybe dead or not. It's not very clear at this point. Hanji says that he's dead, but might have been, you know, making that up. So he's alive. Meanwhile, Eren is fighting. He's gotten the power of the Founding Titan or not, because I don't know. They had all the. Okay, so from what I remember, Eren and Zeke had some. Zeke pitched it to people that day. He had this plan that I can't remember the details of, and it doesn't really matter because it wasn't even his real plan, to try to safeguard Paradis. But yeah, his secret plan was actually just to do euthanization for all the Eldians, to make it so that none of them have any children, so their race goes away along with the Titans, which Eren seemed to be going along with. But then Armin's telling people, oh no, I don't think Eren is along with that. He was just pretending to get the power of the Titan, but he's really going to be fighting for Paradis and stuff like that. And we still don't know if that's true or not, but we get a lot of stuff of him in Titan form fighting things. And that's all the big stuff I remember from the episode.
Yeah, As weird as it was for Aaron to be the bad guy suddenly, now all of a sudden this new part of the season begins, and now he's back on the good side again. I'm getting whiplash from how fast these characters are changing. You know, they're like, they go one way and then they go the other way, and it's like, I don't know who's good, who's bad, or what. I mean, maybe that's by design, but, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I had a suggestion, but it didn't make sense whenever I thought it up. I was going to say it was like Death Note, where you don't know who to cheer for, but Death Note is a whole lot better than this, so I don't want to compare it in any way. Yeah, so I really wish there was a recap episode, because the only thing I can remember was the Jaegerists, and that Jaeger was seemingly bad, and that Gabby girl is utterly insane. She seemed a little more sane in this episode than she has been. But yeah, I was pretty confused about this episode.
I think I mostly understood it, but there's some stuff where even I was thinking, okay, what exactly is the situation right now? I don't think we needed a recap episode, but I would have liked a recap at the start of just a few minutes. That's so yeah, but so yeah, that's basically where we are. The other notable things is the part where Armin's talking to Mikasa, and he says, "Hey, you know that part where Eren said that you were only, like, you know, that you were devoted to him because it was some sort of weird brainwashing and that gives you headaches? I think he just made that up." And there's that, and then there's also the part where I did Peek was, I can't remember exactly why, she's like the cart titan or whatever it's called, where she needed to, I think she was chained to someone, and she's like, "Hey, can you get the chain off?" And to one of the other titans, and he does it, but also kind of takes off her arm, and then she's like, "Okay," and then just turns into the titan. Mm-hmm. That was kind of funny. Just, "Oh, I guess my hand got chopped off. Oh well." Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was Attack on Titan. It was a start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we move on to Assassination Classroom, episode 30. So the bad guy is like, "Ha! I put neck braces as explosives on the students, and you know, to make Koro sense." Say, like, to lock him in with them, and was planning to kill them with a flood or something. Anyway, long story short, the Karasuma ends up going after the guy himself. Irina, you know, is initially apparently with guy, but oh well, she, the bad guy, what do you know, turns on her, but then Karasuma saves her, so she's good now again, I guess. The kids thankfully are able to fool the bad guy because of the fact that they have these special camouflage clothes that make it look like they're not there, even though they are. So they manage. So let's see. So Karasuma ends up fighting against the bad guy, like the Reaper. Neither of them seems to have access to guns for some reason, so they just punch each other. Karasuma ends up managing to win, and things go back to normal.
Who was this bad guy anyway?
I don't think we know his name. He just calls himself the Reaper, supposedly like the name of like a super great assassin or something.
Hmm.
He's just, yeah, that's just what he called that. I can't remember. Did they say whether he was the actual Reaper or not? Because you find out later on he wasn't the actual Reaper, which actually might be a slight spoiler, but not really. So I'm just going to call him that. I don't think we actually found his name. Let me actually look that up. Let's see what it says. Okay, going to class Assassination Classroom Wiki, the Reaper. Let's see. Yeah, I just see the Reaper. It doesn't say anything about a name. In which I looked at this. I think I may have accidentally also spoiled myself on something by reading this.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Nothing too big. I've been spoiled on most of the series, but I don't know about some of the stuff that happens towards the end. So, well, that's the thing. I thought I knew everything important about this, and then I saw it, and I'm like, oh, I guess there is something. Whoops. But apparently he's just the Reaper.
Seasons don't fear him, so.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Then we got to Made in Abyss. Episode 5. So they're continuing to go down into the what they call is the Forest of Temptation, which at least as of this episode does not live up to its name at all. But Rico gets grabbed by this giant bird thing. But Reg is able to, through the power of Deus Ex Machina, turns out he's super crazy powerful and is able to rescue her with, like, some sort of giant blaze cannon thing. They end up, so they get through that, and then they just keep going on, and... And they run into some like monster things also, that's the episode.
Yeah, I think I was nodding off by the time this one came around. I was like half asleep, so. It's not like anything big has really happened in this series anyway, but...
I'm just having trouble remembering the last, like, 5 minutes for some reason. I can remember the stuff up till that, but, like, the big stuff, but not, that part. Including the weird bit where Rico's, shirtless, though of course we go obligatory. Oh well, what do you know, her hair happens to fall right in front of her chest during that whole scene. Which, just for the record, was not the case in the manga, so the manga definitely played up some of, I guess, the lolicon things people say, so it's better to be watching the anime that kind of, you know, fixed that a little.
Have you read the anime? Or the manga, I mean?
No, not really.
Okay.
So funny story. So I watched the episode, and then, except I forgot, like, except I wasn't really paying that much attention, and I didn't, and, And for some reason, I should have just watched it, but I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to there's some stuff of the manga at the, at like the library. I'll just glance, through this part of it and to refresh my memory of what happened. I'm like, okay. Oh, wow. So there's that in the manga. Okay. Glad the anime fixed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. But just devoting ourselves to the show, anime, that's the sort of thing that makes me think, I think I will stick with the anime. But, that aside, it was, I guess, just okay. I'm just kind of waiting for the point where the series, because we're almost halfway through, we're 2 episodes away from halfway through, so I guess we're not quite halfway. But yeah, we're 5 episodes into it, and I'm wondering, okay, when do we get to the part that everyone raves about?
Yeah.
Yeah, anything else?
Nope, not really.
Okay. All right, so we've then gotten to One Piece episodes 523 to 524. So in this one, they are descending into the water and getting to a bunch of wacky hijinks. Sanji gets a bunch of nosebleeds and needs to, I normally don't like that joke, but actually I still don't particularly care for it, but I'll admit they did make it a little funnier than usual this time because they have to give him a blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm.
They get attacked by Caribou, one of the bad guys that we saw before, but he tries to like ram their ship, but his ship is being carried by the... what do they call it? Like a sea cow or something? A giant sea cow. Except it's one that they beat up, like, I don't know, like 450 episodes ago. So it gets scared and runs away. And so that solves that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, they end up finding... they end up finding along their path a giant octopus kraken thing, and that's attacking them. Caribou's ship shows up again, but it gets attacked by unfortunately they didn't realize that they're just a jobber, so they get easily destroyed by the kraken to demonstrate how powerful it is. And then mm-hmm. they all float away. Don't worry, they all survive.
Yeah, what?
I'm not joking for the record. They all survive.
Really?
Wow, yes.
I'm shocked. This was the first part of this new season that I could tell that there was padding going on. Like, it felt like these 2 episodes should have been just 1 episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, they were so... I have a hard time remembering what happened in each episode. It just felt like 1 hour-long episode.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I guess we're going to have to deal with this padding for who knows how long.
Yeah, and it's not really... The thing about the padding is it's not really like they added stuff exactly. It's just they make stuff take a little... longer, like the gag where Sanji gets the crazy nosebleed and it actually like sends him catapulted upwards and hits a bubble. That was like maybe like a one panel joke or something in the manga, but the anime made sure to keep that going for a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't know if you saw this. I was wondering if this was like almost like some sort of... There's a part right after that where Sanji's, you know, lying on the deck and, you know, they got the transfusion stuff put up to him and it's a joke and Chopper's looking at him. And there's a part where it looks like the screen just plain freezes, even though there's still some talking. And I was thinking, oh, is this a broadcast problem or something? But no, then you see Chopper and just Chopper moving that scene and start talking. And I'm like, okay, was that like was the studio like in such a rush to get the episode out they just weren't able to fix that and they just had that weird static thing? Did you see that? It was in the first episode.
I don't remember. Okay. I'm sorry.
It didn't last that long, but it just looked really weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the best stuff about this episode, because like the act, like a bunch of the jokes were kind of funny. Like the part where Brooke starts making all of his usual, like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he's something like, oh, you can feeling your skin. Wait, I don't have skin. Except in this case, Chopper says, oh, you can't do that. You don't have skin. And then, or whatever he said, I can't remember the exact phrase, sorry. And then Brooke gets all upset because someone took his line.
Yeah, I thought Brooke was, that's his name, right, Brooke?
Is it Brooke or Brooks? I suddenly realize.
Brooke. Yeah, it's Brooke. He's pretty funny. I'm glad he joined the crew. Because then I'd be stuck cheering for only Chopper. No, just joking. I like most of the people on there. The one guy, Usopp, kind of annoys me because he has Kuro-sensei's voice. And every time I hear that voice, I cringe. So, yeah. But, yeah, these are two fairly good episodes. But, yeah, just a little padding.
Yeah, that is the problem. Just, that's the issue, but it's, I mean, it's still enjoyable, but yeah, it works better when we've got two episodes per week. So it's kind of like how it was easier to overlook how padded out the original Dragon Ball Z was when they were airing five episodes each week when they were airing it like each weekday, like, oh yeah. Okay. Oh, so sure. Goku spent like two episodes, powering up his spirit bomb. But hey, there's still three other episodes this week.
Oh, I thought it took him a whole week to get that spirit bomb up. I'm surprised it only took two episodes.
I can't remember exactly how long it was. I think it was about two episodes, but I remember that mostly because I was at this club at school. This was like middle school or something. And I was like, oh, I was saying I should get home and because I don't want to miss Dragon Ball Z. And someone, I don't know exactly how they knew it. Maybe this happened. Maybe it was a rerun and I didn't notice it. Oh no, it's Goku just spends the whole time powering up the spirit bomb. And then I go home anyway and I watch it and I'm like, oh wow, that is what happened in that episode. Yeah. Okay. So we've gotten that. I guess we did find out the stuff where we got all the info dump information about how we find out. Oh, Bartholomew. Or is it Bartholomew? I don't know if it's which one it is. Kuma, he was the one who like guarded the Sunny all that time. I don't know if you remember him. He's the guy who kind of showed up near the end of the Thriller Bark arc. Like the guy with the bubbles and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That guy.
Yeah, so he's there. So we get a bunch of exposition about him. But he's like a robot, apparently. And they changed his memory or something like that. I'm not sure, but yeah. So I guess we found out that about him.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. I guess that's there. Sorry, just making a quick note. And I guess that's all of the One Piece. Oh, I actually did want to make a quick note. There's actually a fun pun in the theme song I didn't notice. It's where it says each knee. It says like each knee sunshine yo go. It's a little pun because the word in Japanese for three is san. So it goes. So it's saying one, two, sunshine. Each knee sunshine instead of each knee san. And I'm like, okay, that's a little cute.
Yeah.
All right. Done with the Toonami stuff. We move on to Bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo episode 9. So in this one, they get to the boss of the C-block tower and fight against him, Geha. We get a bunch of weird stuff when Bo-bo-bo and Don Patch get caught in his hurricane thing, where there's some weird stuff with them trying to take a test. Anyway, in the meantime, that guy decides to try to attack Beauty, but that white-haired boy, whose name we find out is Gasser, his original Japanese name is Heppo Komaru. I don't know why they changed it to English, but it's okay. This is the last, almost like the last show where they really did change a bunch of, like, the names into, like, English, stuff. Anyway, he helps her out. Bo-bo and Don Patch do manage to get out of the whirlwind. There's some weird stuff where Don Patch is annoyed at demanding that Gasser apologize to Bo-bo-bo for like saying the show was dumb.
Yeah.
And that's basically the episode. So I guess the big thing is we find out who the guy is and his name.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't super big on maybe the first half of the episode, but actually once we but the interactions I thought between Don Patch and Gasser were actually really pretty funny in the second half.
Mm-hmm. I thought a lot of the fourth wall breaking was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Although this show seems to do it so much that I'm sure it's going to get old after a while. But, there's some funny moments in it. I still have the subtitles on, so I'm watching two shows at once.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a totally different show. It's a totally different show. So,
I know there was some stuff in here that in the original Japanese, like, was just, they, like, just made up totally different stuff for the English.
Yeah. They weren't remotely close. All episode long, nothing was remotely close. So, yeah, that was pretty good.
I think my favorite joke is the one where Beauty's having a flashback, and because it's a flashback, like, the colors are sort of different, and she just says, I've got to get the colors of my memory adjusted. So, yeah, it was kind of fun also. Just not much to say about it, I guess. So we got Ascendance of a Bookworm, episode 7. So Lutz and Mine are now trying to meet with what's his name, like the merchant guy, to try to finalize the agreement of about the things, and he offers them like some sort of royalty deal, but just like almost everyone who Kevin has ever offered that on Shark Tank says, Mine's like, no, I don't want to do a royalty deal. get something different. Is how I think it goes. I can't remember exactly how all the stuff works out. It's business negotiation stuff. It's more fun when it's on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
We find out that magic does exist because apparently there's something called contract magic. They make the agreement on that. Lutz is like, by the way, are you actually Mine? Because he's so confused, suspiciously, because she knows all that business stuff and she kind of plays it off. But anyway, we get some other... Yeah, that's basically the stuff. They got the stuff set up, and they're going to start to work on trying to get the paper-making stuff to work.
Yeah. My favorite part was that dream she had where everyone figured out who she was, and then So you woke up from that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But most of this episode is kind of forgettable.
Yeah, it's kind of experienced the same thing for me as Median Abyss. I'm just thinking, okay, everyone says this is great. When do we get to the great part? Like, is it a case where maybe if I binged it, maybe I would like it more? Or is maybe that it? Or have we just not gotten to it? I don't know. I'm just waiting for stuff to happen. Is this just going to be, is this just like I said, it seemed to be just a slice of life Dr. Stone?
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess we'll see. I just, look, you set up all that stuff about the magic. Get to that.
Yeah.
So let's see. So yeah, and this was episode 7 of Ascendance of a Bookworm, and I've said repeatedly that episode 7 was where I thought Dr. Stone started getting good, but we're still waiting a little on Ascendance of a Bookworm.
Yeah.
So, yep, we've gotten that. Then we'll move on to our Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works, episode 6. So let's see. They find out, let's see. So Shiro and Rin go around to disable a bunch of the sigils that they found in the school. Shiro decides, man, I'm kind of weak. I should like get some training from Saber about sword fighting, although I'm not sure how useful that necessarily actually is in this series. When you think about it, because, like, he doesn't really have a sword. I don't think he's even got, like, some sort of magic sword. The magic stuff is the important thing here. So I'm not sure exactly how useful it is. Maybe it's to try to make him more physically fit, but I think he already was. So. Yeah, maybe he will get a magic sword. Who knows? He'll get a cool, probably not a cool invisible one, though, like Saber has.
It'll have to be enormous if he gets one. Because that's the rule.
Oh, man, remember how big Ichigo's sword is?
Yeah.
And, oh, man, that sounded that sounded way more dirty than I meant it to. Is that like, I wonder if that's a so the big thing is that Shiro finds out that Shinji is Rider's master and made the magical barrier thing, suggests they form an alliance, and Shiro's like, nah.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised he doesn't at least, like, say, I'll think about it, or something like that. But he just says no. Anyway, then Shiro ends up getting captured by Caster, who I've noticed that in both this and Fate Zero, both of the Casters seem to be, like, the evilest of the, servants. I don't know if that's a recurring thing throughout all the Fate lore, but so she captures him and wants to, like, take away all his mana or whatever. Saber finds out and tries to go there, but ends up running into Assassin and has to fight Assassin because, well, I mean, we gotta get all the servants out of the way. I think we've been introduced to all of them at this point. Not necessarily their masters, but the servants. Anyway, fortunately for Shiro, Archer shows up to save him. And so, yeah, we've got Saber against Assassin and Archer versus Caster.
One-on-one battles, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, It was good. I was at a panel last week where they were talking about how Tosaka was like a archetype tsundere character, and a lot of characters were very influenced by her. So, the only problem with her is that her hair isn't red, and apparently you gotta have red hair to be a true tsundere. This was a pretty good episode. I'm still confused about Ilya and like that whole thing, so I hope we get back to her, but for now it's pretty good.
I found a little bit of some of the opening stuff a little boring, but it did get, you know, much more interesting as it went on. I haven't mentioned it before, but I did want to mention that this series has very good animation. I'm not someone who takes notice of these sort of things, normally it's only if animation is really good or really bad that I notice. So, but yeah, this is definitely a case where they made sure to put in a lot of budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've gotten that. All right. So did you want to, we should give the top three stuff for this first.
Yeah, third place for me, barely beating out Bobobo, is Attack on Titan. Second place is One Piece, which kind of has an unfair advantage because it's two episodes, and that kind of is cheating, but I'll go with One Piece and Fate Stay Night for first place once again.
So for me, I would have One Piece in third place, Assassination Classroom in second, and Fate Stay Night in first. Has it won every single week that I've that we've been watching Unlimited Blade Works for me? It feels like it has.
Well, for me, it's been 6 out of 7.
I know. Yeah, so. I remember you gave One Piece at once, but has it always been for me? And the problem is, I feel like it's just going to continue because I'm looking at the other shows we're watching. I'm like, yeah, some of them I like, but is anything going to beat it? I've just been thinking, okay, what series could beat it? Well, Kaguya-sama season 3, that might be able to take it some weeks, but by the time that series gets a dub and we watch it, we'll probably be done with Unlimited Blade Works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll probably be our replacement series for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, we'll see, but yeah, that's a pretty good one. Even if this wasn't one of my like favorite episodes of the series, yeah, it was still pretty good. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So, do you want me to be doing that rundown of the series? I was going to ask if you wanted to do that or The Amazing Race first. I kind of like doing this first because it's still related to the anime, can tune out if they didn't want to care about The Amazing Race. But on the other hand, this might take longer, so who knows? Okay, so I talked a little. So, like I mentioned, I decided to try to watch at least one episode of each new anime series that was this season. Only new ones, so you know, I'm not checking out any returning. Series. Also, I was only doing it the ones that were on the services that I actually had, so not anything on Netflix or High Dive. So I want to mention, when I'm saying this, if I like, for some of these, I only watched a few episodes. Maybe they get a lot better as they go along. So, some of these are first impressions. Just wanted to mention that. Let's see. I already talked about some in the previous episode, but to give the quick recap, Orient, I didn't particularly care. Orient, Tokyo 24th Ward, and Policing a Pod, I wasn't big on. I did like In the Land of Leodale, although its most recent episode since then had this kind of weird fan service bath scene I didn't particularly care for. Anyway, so we had, which is weird because before that I was thinking, man, I like this series. It's dodging. It's really got no fan service. Oh, well, okay. All right. So we'll move on past that. I'm going kind of roughly in the order these series actually aired. So we had Slow Loop, which is a series about fishing. More specifically, it's about these two girls whose parents... who are from different parents, but both of their, but their parents end up, they become stepsisters after their parents marry each other because their other parents died or something. There actually is, it's a little weird because they did not know, they just kind of happened to meet each other before that and didn't know who the other was. And I'm thinking, really? I mean, how do you not know what the others, like, Skype exists at this point. It was a kind of funny scene where one of them's like saying, well, I gotta get home. My father's going to marry this woman and she's coming over with her daughter to meet him. And then the other's like, huh, my mother's coming to this town to meet the man he's going to marry and his daughter. And then it's just kind of this pause and they kind of look at each other and realize. So that was kind of funny. But so, you know, it's kind of about them, their like sort of relationship and stuff. But really its big focus is on fishing.
Fishing?
Yeah, fishing. Because one of them's really into fishing and is teaching the other about it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually was a pretty decent series, so I didn't end up keeping up with it. I mean, up with it. I might go back to it because it still was just kind of enjoyable. But yeah, it's kind of almost slice of life, but not really exactly. I think maybe there's a might develop more competitive act. Thing about it, but on the whole, yeah, it was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. All right, then we had Girls Frontline, which I watched some episodes of. It's based on a apparently mobile game where in the future you don't use tanks or whatever to fight your wars. Instead, you use cute robot girls. It was okay. I mean, it's kind of more on the action and not so much on other things, but it was kind of fun to watch the episodes I did see. That's another one I didn't keep up with it, but I might go back to it later on. Some of these series, I think I might like check back to see what people said about it later on to see if it was worth it, because I remember how last season or last year, there's some series called Wonder Egg Priority, and everyone was like, oh man, this series is great, it's so good. And then the final episode aired, and everyone said, this series is stupid! Because it would kind of apparently ruined it for people.
Mm.
All right. World's End Harem is a series about how some illness kills almost all the men in the world, but this one guy was cryogenically frozen is immune. So he's told, well, you need to do it with a bunch of women to help repopulate the world. Because there's only a few other guys, and he's not interested because he wants to find this one girl he was in love with, and I don't know. It was a very stupid series. Oh. Like, as if the premise didn't explain that. it's one of those series that you look at and you're like, I just don't see what this is for. Because if you're interested in the plot is stupid. If you're there to try to watch fan service, everything is blocked out. So if you want to watch that, you'll have to, like, get the Blu-ray or something, I guess. It's, It's, I don't know. I just thought it was a kind of dumb show. And yeah, I was done after one episode. Yeah. So there was that. I did watch a little of a live action show that Crunchyroll was showing, like Hakuoki Demon of the Fleeting Blossom. I think it's like an adept. There was actually an anime series of that, but they had a live action one. And it was okay. It was kind of cheesy, but people say, oh, well, you know, these things are they're just cheesy. You just accept it. Okay. There was Q, which is an anime based on some mobile game where that's about training girls to be voice actresses. The main it wasn't that interesting to me. The main thing I wanted to mention was the fact that there's a part where the subtitler probably had an easy job because there's things where they were reenacting parts of Hamlet, and I'm like, okay, well, you have your translation ready for you. Just grab it from the play.
Yeah.
Which, of course, probably means that it was much easier to understand if you were watching it in Japanese because, it would be more modern sounding. So, yeah. Next one, The Strongest Sage with the Weakest Crest is... I would say it's an extremely generic isekai series, but it's technically not isekai because the main character doesn't reincarnate into another world. He reincarnates into his own world several centuries in the future. Yeah, it's not that interesting. I heard that it like really rushed through a lot of stuff that gave better background for things. But for the most part, I think my main thing I would say about it is that the main character looks a lot like Yuma from World Trigger, except with black hair, which was Yuma's original hair color before it got turned white. So, yeah, that's what I had to say about that. Akebi Sailor Uniform was a series that was people noticed as probably the best animated this season. And it's like about this thing about this, you know, kind of nice coming of age girl going to school thing. That was kind of interesting. It's there's this part that's kind of dumb. So she wants to go to this academy because they have sailor uniforms and she wants to wear a sailor uniform. So she literally says that at the interview. So then her and she gets accepted and her mother like gets this great sailor uniform, but then finds out, oh no, wait, they don't actually have sailor uniforms. It's a different thing. When they say, well, we should have told you that it was a different one, even though she literally said it to the interviewer and none of them thought to say, no, that's not our uniform. But then they're like, eh, you can still wear it if you want because of the circumstances. The other thing is, the first episode, you can definitely tell that at least one of the animators has like a big thing for feet. Like, cause there are a bunch of shots of people's feet. There's like this part. Oh, you see someone clipping their toenails. Yes. We needed to see that. So I didn't really stick with that one. Either. I've heard there's some other kind of I can't even say it's really fan service, but just more fetish stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
As it goes on.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, when I say fan service, I think it's more like, you know, like nudity or partial nudity. Here it's a case of making sure to with the feet stuff, it was like making sure to really focus on those things. And maybe there was some more fan service later on. I only saw one episode. A bunch of these I might have been more willing to keep watching normally, but I wanted to but since there were so many series, I had to just be thinking, okay, I gotta drop this one, gotta drop this one. If I do this for next season, I'm going to simplify it and just make a bracket or something of shows. My Dress Up Darling, it's about this shy guy and this super who's like really interested in sewing and stuff. And this really more boisterous girl who wants to do cosplay stuff but isn't good at it. So, of course, they end up finding about each other's interests. And she kind of drags him into helping him out into helping her out by making cosplay stuff for her. And, you know, it's presumably I assume this goes into romance series. I didn't quite get to that part. It was okay, but okay. Remember when before I said it was more fetish than fan service? This one was very fan service.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wasn't that big on. It was a little, there was, although it is funny, as someone pointed out, that you actually, there is more skin shown in this series, in like the second episode of this, than there was in the first episode of World's End Harem, apparently.
Wow.
So, well, yeah, like I said, World's End Harem, they like block out all the stuff with like very crudely put in like censor stuff. I like almost was wondering about World's End Harem. Is this like, okay, this is going back to it, but I wanted to say that. I was thinking, is this like a joke? Is this like supposed to be something really stupid? And that's like the gag that is treated seriously. Like, is this like crude censor stuff? Is that part of the joke? But apparently it isn't. So, you know, that was what made me think, oh, I can't even really enjoy that in that sense. Then we get to the Miss Kuroitsu of the Monster Development Department. And I went into this with no expectations. This is actually a really funny series. Basically, it's about, so you know how, like, you know, on Power Rangers and similar shows, the bad guys always, like, make monsters and send them after the heroes to fight them? Well, the series basically focuses on the people who actually make the monsters. And it's a really funny sort of, like, almost workplace comedy where it just focuses on all, like, the weird sorts of red tape stuff you have to deal with in actual jobs, except in this silly setting, like where they want to make this giant, they come up with this idea of this giant monster that's got weapons everywhere, except because it's so big they have to get all these other departments involved, and everyone keeps telling them, well, you know, you don't need this would cost too much, and at the end it looks completely different from the original design. Funny, a few weird bits of fan service, but not much. And honestly, I don't know. There's just funny. It's just a funny series on the whole. I did get a bunch of laughs, and I like the episode titles, which are things like I'm going to read some. She cried inside when the monster to strike fear into the hearts of men was born into the evil secret society plotting world domination.
That's one title.
That is one. That's the title of the first episode. let me read the other ones.
Okay.
So after that, the next episode is the legendary emissary from hell who constantly hears the screams of the evil soul supping from the kettle of darkness spreads fear in his wake as he awakens. Then, the monster in a perpetual cycle of death and rebirth struggles to break its chains until seduced by a soul entrapped by destiny. Then, the soul of a demon drinking into a stupor at the banquet of illusions while burdened by sins that lead all men astray shatters with anger when the young maiden cries. And lastly, the most recent one, saved by a smile from the deadly price typically extracted through deals with monsters that dwell in the deep like a true ring of Solomon. Yeah, like the most recent episode has this great bit where they have to get the stamps of approval from all the supervisors, except they're all like in these really far off places, including one that's like in another dimension. So they have to go to get all of them and then find out that some of them don't work because they didn't put like the right dates on it or something. I don't know. It's just a very funny series. It's legitimately probably my favorite of the season so far. I don't know if I'm necessarily selling it, because I can just say, look, it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had. Oh, wait, here's a great part where one of like the monsters, he's like actually trying for this job interview at this place. And the person's like saying, so what do you think? What can you bring to our tech? tech company says, well, my skills include being able to, destroy heroes and, you know, that stuff. And the person just says, so your skill is murder then. And he goes, yeah, pretty much. And then he just gets his form letter saying he wasn't accepted. It's just a funny show. So, moving on, there's Sasaki and Miyano, which is kind of like, I think it's one of those series that clearly was adapted from, you know, like four panel comics so that you just have like some conversations and then it just moves on to the next thing. It's about these two guys. I think it's supposed to be leading into like more of a Yuri direction. And well, I'm not that interested in that to begin with, but also I just didn't find it funny. Like, it was one where I was thinking, okay, I've committed to watching a full episode, so I'll give it a full episode, but I'm really just kind of... I've mentioned that I've been trying to watch everything in these subbed in Spanish. For this series, for a bunch of series, you know, if there's a word I don't know, I'll pause it and try to look it up. With this series, I'm just like, nope, I'm just going to let it play. If I don't understand a word, whatever. Futsal Boys is a sports series about futsal, which is some sort of soccer variant. This one I actually watched two episodes of, only because everything else that aired on this day, I thought I was so uninterested in, I dropped after one episode, so I'm like, okay, I'll just give this one another one. It wasn't that great. It kind of was like Haikyuu, but without the charm in some ways.
So what's the name of this sport again? Futsal?
Yeah, Futsal. It's like some sort of soccer variant.
So it's like indoor soccer.
I don't know. They didn't really explain what the rules differences were.
Uh-huh.
There's also a kind of amusing bit. I didn't notice this, but I saw someone mention it. There's a part where a character says, like, the score was 4-3, but what was on screen, like, earlier when you saw the score was a different thing. There's Rusted Armors, which it's a not very interesting series that is animated pretty poorly. It's like that one where they try to do 2.5 dimensions, as they say, but it didn't really work out, and it's gotten, like, almost no attention. This had a, to put it into perspective, this has, let me just double check to see if it's changed, but I want, but it had an extremely low rating on Crunchyroll. Yes, it currently, on a scale, on a 1 to 5, it holds a 1.3.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Rusted Armors.
And what's it about?
It's basically kind of about these kind of samurai guys that, like fight bad guys. And I don't know, I can't even really remember much about it. I watched only one episode a while ago. I've just noticed how, like, there is, like, no attention being paid to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to put it into perspective, it's not just that people don't like it. People aren't watching it. On Reddit, the anime subreddit, like when they're like the different animes is like an opportunity in each episode, you know, to vote on what you thought of that episode, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there's a little archive and you can see what people thought for each episode. For episodes 3 and 4 of this, no one voted. There were no votes for this series. People just cared about it that little.
Mm.
There was Requiem of the Rose King, which is apparently a loose adaptation of Shakespeare's Richard III and Henry VI, I think. Which sounds like great source material, but it was kind of boring, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't particularly care too much for it. I only watched one episode, but I did look at what other people said. They say, no, the other episodes aren't that interesting either. And everyone says, look, it's a bad adaptation. Read the manga. It's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whew. Here's a Do you want me to go through to keep going or hold off some more till next week?
You can go ahead. I'm entertained.
Okay. Yeah. Requiem of the Rose King. Like I said, it's a loose adaptation of what's a loose adaptation of history. So, yeah. Let's see. So then there's Tribe Nine, which was a series about people who play, I can't remember if they called it extreme baseball exactly, if that was the phrase, but it was something like that, like a crazy futuristic baseball where people can end up really hurt and stuff. And it was kind of a little interesting, but I still didn't really stick that much with it. Mm-hmm. Next is this. I mentioned Miss Kurotsu of the Monster Development Department was good. This is another really good one. It's called Sabikui Bisco or Rust Eater Bisco. So it's basically in this sort of, I can't remember if this is supposed to be like an alternate world or like a sort of futuristic thing, but it's in a Japan where there's been all these problems causing by like this rusting disease. It causes people to basically look like they're rusting, which eventually kills them. And people are blaming this like kind of mushroom on it. So Bisco is one of the like mushroom protector guys who everyone thinks is a terrorist, but he's actually a good guy. Because the truth is the mushrooms aren't causing the oxidation. They actually help treat the rusting. He'd actually help treat it, but since they always pop up where there's oxidation because they feed on it, that people thought it was causing them. And basically, it kind of ends up with him teaming up with this doctor guy to go and try to find this special sort of those mushrooms that might be able to help cure things and help people. But there's like some bad guys and stuff. It's honestly, I'm really enjoying it. The biggest problem is it has a slow start. The first three episodes should have been two episodes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's pretty entertaining for the most part. My worry is that if I get really into it, the season will be over and I'll want to read the light novel, except it only just started being translated into English. So I'll be like, oh no, I'll get like one more volume and then I'll have to wait. There was Fantasio Sango Realm of Legends, which I don't remember much of anything about. It wasn't that great from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Next up. The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt. I mentioned this is one of those series with a crazy title, because the light novel's full thing was The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt. Hey, how about treason? But the anime omitted that final part, so it's just The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt. So this was one that seemed interesting to me, because it's about this guy who's, as it says, a genius prince, and he wants to but he doesn't actually want the job. He wants to sell the country to some bigger country that they can, so that he can get a bunch of money and quit the job. But he's having trouble managing to do that. It's so the biggest issue is I can definitely tell there's a lot of stuff that is being sped past in this light novel adaptation. Like the first episode makes it seem like the joke of the series is going to be, oh, well, he keeps looking into like victories, but apparently what was supposed to be going on in the first episode was that because he was in this battle and he kind of like seemed to be like he was trying to lose it, but ended up winning. And you're like, oh, so I guess that's a joke. Apparently, like with the source material, it explained things better. He wanted to win, but he didn't want it to be an overwhelming victory because the goal was to just have the battle and then hopefully that would make the other country, lose interest in attacking them. But because it was so overwhelming, it meant he had to actually keep going on the offensive, which he didn't want to do, which was not really that well explained. The later ones were a little better, but a lot of it is really unfortunately, just a matter of, hey, I managed to outsmart everyone. Now I'm going to spend 15 minutes explaining how it all worked out. So for this series, I stuck with for a while, but I think I'm kind of putting it to the side for now, and I'll wait until the season is over and see what people say about it before deciding if I want to head back into it. There is some stuff I like the two main characters, Neenim and Wine are their names. They've got really fun chemistry with each other, but a lot of the rest of the series isn't so good. But if the plot picks up as it goes along, I could see myself getting back into it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one weird thing. So we get, like, of course, the fan service bath scene. You know, don't care for it, but that's what they do it. And it's actually toned down from the light novel, because I was looking at something like, oh, wow, you actually toned this bit down a bit. Okay. And it's just weird, because in that, like, episode, there's two jokes made about this one character not being particularly developed. But in the bath scene, she looks just as you would say, big as the other characters, so I don't know why did they make that joke?
There's
some good stuff. There's some great bits of comedy, like where two characters are, like, you know, doing these crazy schemes about how they're going to manipulate this one guy who's kind of an idiot, except the guy who's kind of an idiot wants to, like, do this show. He gets drunk and he wants to, like, challenge someone to a sword fight, and there's all this, like, stuff, except then he ends up, when trying to hit the opponent who dodges, he ends up running all so fast, he goes out the window, falls off the balcony, and dies.
Wow.
It was actually really funny. the way it's done, it was one of the funniest deaths I've seen. Because it just suddenly ruins both of their plans.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a series. It's okay, but I think I'm going to see more what it's like later on. Then we have She Professed Herself Pupil of the Wise Man, which had possibly one of the worst first episodes of any of these anime I've seen.
What happened in it?
Well, I did decide to give it another because it's an isekai series, and I think to myself, okay, you know, look, as has been established, isekai almost never have good first episodes.
Right.
So this one, it's basically they're in some alternate, some, like, you know, virtual reality online game thing. And the guy, basically their kingdom gets attacked in the game, and the main character guy is able to summon a bunch of monsters to fight the attack, and then they win. And it is a very not well animated battle. And then all the stuff we just saw ends up not really being important because we get this major status quo change. So it just made the whole first episode feel completely pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the part where this is weird. So everyone apparently in the game gets isekai'd into, what do you know, a world that's the same as the game, except everything is real, because we haven't seen that before. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh wait, we just saw that in the Land of Liadale, which was better, by the way. All the main characters, like, guy in the game was like this old wizard, but apparently because when the thing happened, he was toying around with some sort of weird appearance change thing that would have turned him into like this younger, much younger looking girl, and fell asleep. So that just swapped me into that. So now he's a young, cute girl, which I don't even know why they did that. Like, the plot point is, oh, well, we can't let everyone, you've still got all your powers, but it'll look weird this, so you'll just pretend that you were a pupil of the guy. That's why, you know, she professed herself pupil of the wise man. And, I don't know, it's just, I mean, I guess I know the reason why you do it. It's because then you get to have a cute girl on all the covers. But yeah, it's just not that interesting. Yeah, I like the second episode was a little better, and the third episode was a little better than that. I was sticking with it because I'm thinking, okay, it seems like it's getting better. So even if it's not great, maybe it'll keep going. And we had a very uncomfortable fan service scene in the fourth episode involving the main character, who I should mention does look like a young girl. And I was like, okay, I think I'm done here.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's not so good. I did see a comment someone made online, and while this is of course just cribbing off a Phineas and Ferb joke, I still think it's funny, where someone said, wow, if I had a nickel for every time a middle-aged guy got reincarnated as a girl in an isekai this season, I'd have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to the last, there's a few more after this. With a mouthful of life with an ordinary guy who reincarnated into a total fantasy knockout, which is actually the original Japanese was just like with an older guy reincarnated as a pretty fantasy girl, which is, the English one I think I like more because it's crazier, but it gives it a charm.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's about these two guys who end up getting isekai'd into this alternate world by this goddess of that world who wants them to fight the Demon King. Because before she does it, one of them is annoyed because he's having trouble with like romance. So while he's drunk, he kind of just says, "Man, I wish I was I was a cute blonde girl that everyone loved." So it's, the person thinks that's a wish and then turns him into that. And the other one, his friend like just says, "Look, all I care right now is getting you back to the apartment." So in giving that wish, he in the alternate world has the power to summon doors that lead them to their apartment, to his apartment. Anyway, this is actually a surprisingly decent show because the jokes are actually pretty funny. It's, including the character I mentioned, the one who, you know, gets the gender swap, Tachibana, has this, because of that, they're affected by this thing that makes everyone basically fall madly in love with them, which leads to some funny stuff, like when there's these horde of bandits attacking a village, but then they all fall for Tachibana as her assault, and then end up fighting each other over over that, and they all end up killing each other, and that solves the whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. A bunch of the jokes are kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like Konosuba in some ways, but it is a series where I could see some stuff not working. There's like a bunch of directions I could see it taking that wouldn't work so well. Because like, there's this weird stuff where the two main characters finding themselves weirdly attracted to each other, and it's implied that might have been this curse that was put on them, but maybe it wasn't. And when the series is as it is right now and kind of keeping stuff a little ambiguous and just having fun with it, it's great. But I could see how it could go in some, like, depending on how it decides to continue with that, it might, you know, be less interesting. But so far, it actually is a pretty funny series for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
There's just some great jokes in some things. So I might be overselling it a little. It's kind of a funny show, but yeah, it's actually surprisingly decent considering that it's got such a stupid sounding premise.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the best theme song of the shows this season.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're almost done, really.
Okay.
So we got Love of Kill, which is about this one assassin who, the super great assassin who apparently falls for this other assassin person who doesn't actually like him, but he's like, you know, doing all this stuff to try to help her. It's, with the premise, it sounds more like it would be kind of more of a romantic comedy, but it really doesn't have that much comedy with that. It just doesn't go for it that much. I watched a few episodes and maybe it's something I'll return to, but so far I thought it was just kind of, it was kind of okay. Also, there's a character who, you know how there's a few characters that, like, don't have mouths? Like, you know, the first examiner in Hunter x Hunter?
Right.
Yeah, there's a character who has that thing, except it just doesn't look right in anime form. I'm sure it looks fine in the manga this is based on, but when you've got the person like moving their chin and there's no mouth, it just looks weird.
Mm-hmm.
There's I'm Kodama Kawashiro, which I think is almost, is this like a, it's like a troll anime in that the episodes are like 2.5 minutes each, which would be fine, except 1.5 of those 2.5 minutes is the theme song. And then you just get this like 1 minute, very poorly animated, like sort of sketch with the character, and that's it. And I'm like, I kind of respect this series for just the degree it seems to be trolling people.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching Tales of Luminaria, The Fateful Crossroad, because I was thinking, oh, it's another Tales series. So I watched the first episode, and it's okay. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll watch this next one. And then I find there's 2 episodes there. Well, it turns out it was actually just an OVA. There's only 2 episodes. I'm like, okay, well, never mind. It's apparently just based on some mobile game. The last one is Salaryman's Club, which I only saw 2 episodes of so far because it premiered way later than everything else for some reason. It's about some guys playing badminton, except they also work for a company because the companies have teams, I guess, for that. And it was better than Futsal Boys, but it's still not necessarily that great. It's just kind of okay, but it's the better of the sports series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all of them. If you want, right now the ones that I'm currently keeping up with are Miss Kurotsu of the Monster Development Department, Sabikui Bisco in the Land of Leodale, and Life with an Ordinary Guy Who Reincarnated into a Total Fantasy Knockout. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I've been enjoying the most because they're the ones that I decided I'm going to keep watching at least for now. So there you go. There's my super long rundown of the anime stuff I watched. Did you have any questions about any of it?
What's your favorite?
That would be Miss Kurotsu of the Monster Development Department right now.
Okay, so that's one you like the best.
Yeah, the top, if I were to rank them of those ones, it would be that, followed by Sabikui Bisco, then In the Land of Leodale, and lastly, Life with a, you know the rest.
Yeah.
That's the current one. That could change. I mean, last week I had a slightly different order, but I really liked the new episode of Sabikui Bisco and not so much In the Land of Leodale, so they swapped places.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if maybe my opinions change by the end of the season. So that's all them. Whew. Sorry that took so long.
It's okay. We'll get through Amazing Race a little faster then.
Okay. Yeah. There were 2 episodes. I'll be honest. I cannot even really remember much about what happened in the first of them.
Yeah,
because that was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Let's see. I'm blanking too.
That was the one where the father-daughter team got last place, but they were saved from elimination again, I think.
Yeah, yet again. Like, how is that fair? Like, they lost, okay? And never before has someone been brought back from losing. So you got that, and now 2 times they've had non-elimination legs where they've gotten. I don't know how they. If they win, it's gonna really hurt the show because a lot of people are gonna be mad about it. So I hope they don't win, even though I think they're kind of nice people, and I wouldn't have minded seeing them win, but. After all these second chances they've gotten, yeah, I just think I don't want them to win.
Yeah. So, and then in the second episode, they made it, but they got second to last place, I think.
Yep.
They were...
Team I thought was going to win ended up getting knocked out. So, well, that's okay because my favorite team is still in. So we'll see if Raquel and Kayla can at least win a leg. They haven't won a single leg because Kim and Penn have been so dominant. Hmm. And I wonder if they're going to have any U-turns.
Yeah, they might. And did they... And I'm... You said they are having the speed bumps, but they're not showing them?
No, they just... They have one that they didn't show. I'm not sure if they are continuing to have them and not showing them. But I know that one time they definitely did have a speed bump.
Because we didn't see any of this, but maybe they don't have it. I can't remember if Phil actually said you'll have an extra task next leg. Is it possible they removed those for after they came back and didn't explicitly mention that? If so, yeah, I'm fine with that. I've never liked those anyway. I just feel, look, you already got your penalty early in last place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was that one thing that there was also the cases where people were not doing so well because they weren't understanding the tasks. Like, because I don't know if the people giving them were not supposed to explain some things or whether they just were choosing not to. Like the team who, you know, you're supposed to eat the thing and the clue is on the wrapper, but they didn't notice that. And they're like, so where's the clue? And she's like, no, that's all I had for you. But she doesn't explain. Yeah, just look at the wrapper. So I don't know if that there's that. There's also the one where the task where you're supposed to listen to the priest talk about, you know, the like various saints for like, what was it, like 20 minutes or something? It showed usually take to explain them
about
all.
15 minutes or so.
Yeah. And then one of the guys, after he goes through five, just leaves. And you know, but there were actually seven he went through, I think. And the priest doesn't tell him, hey, wait, I'm not done. He just lets him leave.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was an interesting one where you had to remember all the stuff he said to identify them for the questions. I wonder, it would have been funny if like maybe one of the teams was like some really devout Greek Orthodox Christian who already knew all these, so he's just like, okay, I'll just go directly to him and answer the questions. There were like, I think only like three or four of the ones he was listening to that I actually recognized, and for most of them it was like, okay, there's a Saint Christopher, I know there's a St. Christopher. I couldn't tell you a single thing about him, but I know that he existed.
Uh-huh.
So we had that. And this time, one of the teams is going to get eliminated. I do wonder, though, because right now there's only one all-female team in the race still, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe I was reading too much into it, and maybe they were false clues. But I just remember early in the season, they like had some remarks of people saying, "Man, it would be great if an all-female team won," which made me think that might happen. So if that's the case, there's only one team that would apply to. So I think they might have a decent chance of winning, at least if you judge it by the editing.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? We'll find out. Okay,
so we ended up talking for quite a while because of my lengthy... Here's all the series and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the end of it for now. We'll be... I think we should probably get out of here after talking for so long, but that's been it for... this episode of Toonami Therapy. Maybe some of that stuff I said might be useful if anyone's interested in listening, in checking out some of the anime series. Hopefully the series won't experience a sudden loss of quality that I recommended, because that can happen sometimes. That was what I saw everyone say about Wonder Egg Priority. Like the ending with last episode was really stupid and really hurt the series. Okay, well, without further ado, I'll just say we'll see you next week.
Bye.